This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360.com. My name is Debo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. You know, whenever you hear us on air, it is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know, this is a show that brings you all things business. We bring in subject matter expert. We bring in regulators. We bring in, you know what, game changers, shapeshifters. But however, today I must say I'm bringing a different breed of people. You know, I'm looking forward to actually bringing them onto the mic. You know what, growing up in the township, they say, you know, you're home alone, it's very steady. So I've got women in the house. So I've definitely have a woman in the house. My boy, Bulalani Bana, we don't know whether he's still coming or not. But however, the business continues. Business of the day. I'm with my girl, Teho. How you go?
I'm good. Welcome back.
No, good, thanks.
We missed you.
You're welcoming me late. I was here last week.
Oh, but I wasn't here last week.
Oh, okay.
So we missed you. Welcome back.
No, thank you very much. It's good to be back. It's good to definitely be entering. Yeah, so Teho, tell me. You are a woman.
I think so, yeah.
You think so?
Okay. Obvious.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So as a woman, a young woman, black woman, in South Africa and in Africa and in the world, are you being accommodated?
Partially.
Is it?
Partially.
But you know the song, "This is a Man's World," right?
Yeah. Partially, because there's still so much that needs to be done in terms of women empowerment in Africa as a whole. And, you know, there's still countries in Africa where women are still seen as mothers who need to stay at home and, you know, take care of the household, and that's their role. So there's still a lot of education and empowerment around women in Africa as a whole. So not enough is being done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, so you want us, you feel we need to do more?
Yeah. Definitely.
But I thought we were doing enough. I mean, we're giving you our houses, we're giving you our credit cards, we're giving you groceries.
It's not enough.
Oh, is it?
It's not enough.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, Teho is saying it is not enough. I mean, we're talking the state of women in the SA economy. I mean, ensuring women's full participation within the South African economy is essential if ideals for equity, I mean, prosperity and sharing and inclusive growth are to be achieved. However, women around the world have historically faced numerous barriers to their engagement in the economy. These barriers reduce their employability, constrain their ability to participate in their own terms, restrict the options available to them, and limit their likelihood of utilizing their full potential. Many of these barriers exist today and may take various forms. Some of these barriers may be legislated out of existence, although enforcement and other actors and other factors within society. I mean, importantly, those through some of these barriers are the manifestation of attitude, assumptions, and remedy than others, but they must be tackled. If the South African envisaged in the Constitution is to be realized, there are the organizations, or there are organizations in the country that are providing solutions to such barriers. We know most of these women and most of these organizations are definitely there. And we know that, for me, I've always said, or the fact that there's only 1% of women in our country that are sitting in the JSE-listed companies, that it is definitely an error on its own. It's something that definitely needs to be changed. And it takes men like us, that I think are civilized, to actually give these women opportunities. Women are on the rise, Africa. It is a network of all like-minded future female leaders from diverse professionals' background who share a common vision of supporting and developing women and creating a more inclusive and representative society. And the objective of Women on the Rise, Africa, is to provide a space for women from all walks of life and profession to unite, mobilize, and collectively lobby for social change. It is about going beyond hashtags and creating a vehicle of implementing widespread social change while promoting female-centric leadership through various efforts, through various events and social development initiatives. Women WOTRA also provides an opportunity for partners to develop their networks, harness their potential, and make meaningful and lasting impact on their communities while positioning themselves to rise in their various spheres. I mean, I love the name Women on the Rise. It's definitely something that I want to hear. Why Women on the Rise? I mean, to talk about the state of women in SA economy, we have the honor for welcoming our incredible guest in studio. We've got a good friend of mine, none other than Ms. Vuyiswa Mochekwan, who's the CEO of the South African Institute of Black Property Practitioners. She is a serial entrepreneur, a strategist who has built a successful career in fashion, retail, marketing and events. I mean, she's often referred to as a maverick and a pioneer in the field, and being one of the first clothing boutique owners, what is now a trendy 70 Utah Prefontaine design district. I mean, let me take this opportunity to welcome my friend. Then I'm going to welcome my other friend. And I saw my good friend Busi just walked in as well. We're going to get an opportunity to actually welcome her on the show. How are you, my girl, Voot?
Hello, good friend. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm very well.
No, good thing. Me and you, I know, we know you as, okay, I understand. You know, the good thing with you is that you know, people will reinvent themselves, ne?
Madonna, that's me.
Well, yeah. So from being a fashionista, for a dear friend of ours, that you literally made a name for yourself and you decided to do this change. Now coming to property. And unfortunately, we're not speaking property today, but I know I'm going to bring it back. We saw that we talk property, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely. But obviously, there's somebody that might be hearing of you for the first time. I know some of the women that I've invited for them to join me today. They don't know who you are. Maybe do you want to tell us who you are and what it is that you do?
Thanks, Debohan. Thanks for having me. And you're right. I am a bit of a Madonna. I've had the good fortune of, having quite a varied and diverse career. I did start out in the fashion industry as a retail buyer and a trend forecaster. I owned my own boutique and engaged in a number of other entrepreneurial ventures, including, starting an events business, which was a very successful events business under the name of The Other Girls.
Okay.
I then joined the South African Institute of Black Property Practitioners, mm-hmm. Otherwise known as SIBIB, about just under 3 years ago. And really my journey into the property sector started there. And it's just been an amazing journey immersing myself in this very interesting and dynamic industry. Here we are today. I've recently founded Women on the Rise Africa, which, although I like to call it a passion project, I think it's a lot bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that has been burning inside of me for years.
Okay.
And speaks ultimately to, my love for women. I mean, it sounds so basic, but I have a genuine love and admiration and adoration of women, because I understand just how powerful and divine and underrated women are, and I also understand the the impact that women can make in driving development in this country and in the continent in general. I mean, if I look at some of the most exciting leaders, what's her name, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf,
mm-hmm.
and she just received that Mo Ibrahim Leadership Prize, which they were unable to give to any other leader for 2 or 3 years because African leaders were just not stepping up to the plate. And she is just such an incredible example of what can be done when women are given the platform to lead, and when women are given the... And when I say given, I'm not saying someone needs to give them the opportunity. I'm saying when women themselves rise to the occasion and take the opportunity and take up leadership positions, we can see incredible things. Some of our finest minds in this country are women, but they're just unfortunately very underrated, and they don't have the opportunity and the space to come to the fore. So, this is something that was really very important to me, and I felt that we need a space as women to go beyond the high teas and the networking sessions and the endless mentorship programs. And I'm not saying mentorship isn't good. I'm just saying, at which point do we as women collectively pool our voice and our numbers and our minds and our capabilities and actually start demanding the change we want to see? So although it's a very new initiative, it's already gained a lot of traction.
Mm.
Obviously, I think because it's resonating with a lot of young women out there from all walks of life. We're all experiencing challenges in our various professional spheres, and I think we all understand that it is our responsibility as the women of 2018 to pave the way for the future women so that they don't have to deal with the gnolls that we are dealing with today. I don't have a more professional word. I don't know what gnolls is in English, but we don't want it at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, it's not me. It's the friends I keep. Before I move on to my other friend, let me welcome my boy Bulelane. But how are you, Fana?
Hello, everybody. Hello. I'm in the building. And it's a Wednesday, man. It's beautiful. The room is colorful. Mm. Ladies, beautiful ladies all around. And I've met the love of my life, Baby. And your name is Baby. Nah, man, I'm happy to be here today. Mm. Yeah.
No, but then these women, they're saying they're tired of us giving them credit cards in our homes. They want more.
No. Whoa. Whoa. No one.
Check.
No one's opposing.
Check out everyone just going to knock up and off.
Okay. No, it's fine. We'll get to hear more.
We want it all. Oh, okay. Credit cards, the homes, and
everything.
The presidency.
Oh, okay. No, let me welcome my other friend, Dee. Take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is that you do.
Oh, my gosh. My name is Dee Buseng, and I basically do a lot of things. So I was in the banking industry, and I moved over to the football industry, and I decided to move over to the school industry now, where I am based. And
you're passionate about women. Don't leave that alone.
I'm very much passionate about women. We have a small networks. When she's talking about I'm tired of high teas, I think
I looked at you.
I'm on that note, and I want to extremely stress the demand that we need to actually take out as women. It's ours. Like, let's just have it. Mm. It's just ours. Mm. And the fact that we've got so much power in us, and we just need not just professionals to actually be able step up in the field to ignite the power that the women already have, but we need the professionals to go out there. My only passion now is that if I'm a professional as I am and I'm able to make all the mullahs that I'm able to make, what about the child in the Eastern Cape?
Agreed. Yeah.
How is she being received wherever she is? How is she looking life as it is? Where is she drawing the inspiration from? Because the truth of the matter is we are camera lights flash action in Joburg. Mm. What are we doing in our rural? I had an opportunity to be raised in a rural background, and it's needed. Like, we are needed, you know, there. So Women on the Rise, when I read about it, I didn't know about it. And when I read about it, and I actually thought to myself, this could be one of the most initiatives that we could use to actually impact that little child that goes out every day and go to the river with a donkey and bring the water home. That's what I did. And I would like to change that. I am very much passionate, most importantly, about the women now in the classroom as we speak. Who are they looking up to? It's definitely not their teachers.
Wow. Yeah. No, Bahija, please come closer.
Can I just say, just looking at you, you don't even look like you've ever even seen a donkey. You are so glamorous and like.
No, I've been there.
Don't even look like you've even been there.
I'll take you there.
I can't.
No, this girl is as rural as I know. Bahija, take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it you do.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bahija. I have not been in studio before, just kind of came along to have a conversation with everyone. I come from a development background. I've worked with young people, and obviously being a woman, I am very, I'm all for women empowerment and making sure that there's proper representation in all walks of life. And women are the flag bearers of our nation, I believe. We are always there. We are standing strong. And we just need to rise and shine a little bit more.
Bahija, Didi just said something very crucial. You from Cape Town. She's from Eastern Cape. We saw in Ubuya.
Jersey, my banana.
Flashy
as they come, girl.
So you see why she's not. She's not relevant for this question. She's raising a valid point to say all this is seems to be happening to Gauteng. Seems to be happening in Joburg. Do you understand? I want to ask Budelani. She's from here. He's from here. Do you understand? Tseho is from Pretoria, and stuff. Do you understand? So to say all this is happening, but right now, where you come from, where she comes from, in rural areas, there's nothing happening there. Do you know, why do you think it's the case, though? For having worked for an organization that is into develop for 15-plus years or whatsoever, it's something that is, it's not something that is new. Do you understand? Rural areas and semi-rural areas are being neglected. And right now, women there, that's when they are being abused. That's when they are, you know, going through all these things. And most importantly, they're not getting an opportunity to have an open economy or to participate in the economy.
I think it's quite indicative to the culture and the traditions that that have come from the backgrounds and the history specifically of our country. I think also just from a cultural perspective, there's a certain role that women have to play within the community and within the family. And unfortunately, based on what the men folk, I would say, are not necessarily doing, women are needing to take up the actual role of the actual hunter. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that actually have to go out and to earn the living and to make it happen, because unfortunately, whatever the socioeconomic situation or whatever the situation of the environment is, the men are not necessarily stepping up to the plate. And what they are doing is just creating, there's a level of frustration, and that frustration is then obviously taken out on the supposed weaker sex, which is the ladies. So there is a lot of abuse. There is a lot of, things that should not be happening in a healthy society. And unfortunately, women bear the brunt of it, where they have to basically be everything, the protector, the hunter, the gatherer, the provider. And it is problematic, but it's what's happening, and it's something that we need to look at.
Yeah, no, definitely. Did it mean it's not easy being a woman? Here was I thinking it's easy, because you see some women on social media, they're just flashing sexiness, opportunities open. Mm-hmm. You know, others, they just flash.
But real women sit in computers.
Oh.
And think.
Oh, okay.
Real women. Are we talking about women that wonder what tomorrow brings for her, and wonder what change can she make into the country? So we're talking about women that I don't have time to post on. I just don't have time to post on Instagram. I'm just thinking, how do I impact the next person?
Let me bring in my girl Natasha Ali.
Hello.
Who's an author of a book called Her Story, Daughters of Mujaji. I'm having this book in my hand. So when you turn this book around, it says Umlando Wake, Amatotagazi, Wendlovugazi, Mujaji. You know, so and this book, and when you open it up, let me read up what it says. It says her story, Daughters of Mujaji. Most of history excludes or underplays the role that women play in society. The Her Story series tells this series of women across the African continent. You know, African, okay, or the story features 32 South African women and women groups whose stories have important lessons for girls and women everywhere. So maybe, okay, say hi to our listeners first. Tell us who you are and tell us about some of these women that you wrote about, and why did you decide to write a book about, you know, about women? Why didn't you write about men? I mean, we're the one running businesses, we're the ones, we're the CEOs, and you know.
Yeah, you and I are going to fight in the parking lot after this, I can guarantee. My name's Natasha Ali. I have seen a donkey before. I'm also a proud born and bred Joburg girl, so keep all of that.
Oh, okay.
I'm the project manager for the Oliver and Adelaide Tambo Foundation. And then by night, I guess, I moonlight as a children's book author as of about a month ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wrote the book with two of my very good friends, Bubba and Tandy. And we wrote the book just because, okay, I need to say from the outset, none of us are mothers. So we weren't writing for our own children. We're writing for the children of South Africa. And I say children because as much as it's called her story, we need little boys and little girls to mm-hmm. read this book. Like you said, it's the stories of 30 women and women's groups. So it's little biographies adapted for children. And we wrote it just because when we were little, and I think until very recently, there are very few stories about South African women. And you were asking Bahija, like, all the work she does, you know, why is there, you know, we're seeing an increase in gender-based violence and things like that. Why is that? And she explained, and rightly so, that even though women's roles are changing and increasing, we're the hunters, we're the gatherers, we're the protectors, we're the caregivers, society and culture isn't adapting as fast as women's roles.
Okay.
So that level of discrepancy between what women do and the role men feel they're still entitled to is causing so much angst in society.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote this so that when little girls especially read it, they need to know that you come from a line of incredible South African mm-hmm. women. Whether you're white, you're black, you're colored, you're Indian, you're Asian, whatever it is, the women of this country, and these are just 30, but the women of this country are bosses. Like, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And this was the most amazing journey, just writing about, researching and writing about these women. Because we don't realize we're afterthoughts of society. And what's happening is very important, that a lot of policies are changing to include women. But the mechanisms to implement those policies are pathetic. Mm. They're non-existent. Whether it's legal or administrative or whatever it is, it's still pathetic. It's completely inefficient. Mm. So we wrote the book just so that girls know, you know, and we deliberately tried to write the book so that it wasn't that despite her being black, she became or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was with her blackness, with her disability, with her whatever, this is who she became. And you can be whatever you want to be mm-hmm. with your circumstances.
Yeah. So now I'm looking at these women that you wrote about.
Yes.
It's businesswoman. It's artist woman.
Yes.
It's women that have done amazing stuff.
Yes.
Amongst themselves. Are you putting emphasis that we've got women in leadership or women that are doing amazing stuff? Or what's the people? Why these women?
All of the above. It's that women are, in whatever sphere they are, dominating. And not necessarily, they're not dominating only because they're women. They're mm-hmm. dominating and they're women.
Is it?
So they're pioneers and mavericks, like you say,
mm-hmm.
and they're women. Hmm. One of the women is Nonkululeko Gobodo, and she was one of the first chartered accountants.
She's in Tsaruba.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, to start what is now the fifth biggest accounting firm in the country mm. is massive.
Mm.
And no, very few people know her story.
Mm.
So if I say to you, who is, oh gosh, Bessie Head, would you know?
No.
Exactly. And this is why we need these stories to be told.
Mm.
And how you were saying to Bahija, like, she comes from a development background or whatever. The problem is also, it's cool to sit here, as you say, in the bright lights and flashiness of Joburg and what's been done
mm-hmm.
in rural area. But that it shows that we need civic education. And that's what we try to do. We need people everywhere to know these are your rights, these are your responsibilities, these are the spheres that you can go into, these are the things you are entitled to.
Yeah. No, let me bring in a woman in finance. You spoke of, you know, the lady of Gobodo. Mm. I'm sitting here with Miss Busi Silesho, who's an internationally accredited money coach. Mm. Busi, say hi to our listeners and tell us quickly what you do.
Thank you. Thank you, Teboho, for inviting me again. Mm. And as you said, international accredited money coach, well, that's a very, well, does not really mean much other than the fact that I am dedicated to helping someone who says, you know, I've tried all that I could try and money is still not part of my life.
Okay.
Money is still not, I mean, if you are the breadwinner, you just want to have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all about saying, can we put all the challenges that we have behind us and focus on what it matters the most to us?
Mm.
Because going to work every morning when you don't like your job, or running a business that is really taking so much out of you and your life and your kids and your family is not what we were here for. Mm. We were here to enjoy life.
Mm.
And it's either, I mean, you could be a woman, you could be a man. We are all here to enjoy life.
Mm.
So if we are not doing these amazing things that we were made to be and we're just focusing on paying bills, it means that we were here for bills and we were never here for bills.
Okay. So your book is asking an interesting question, why black people don't have money. So
wow.
So
how long is the show?
So I wanna ask, why are women not in the mainstream economy?
That's a very good question. On chapter 10 on this book, I talk about money and women.
Mm, chapter 10, let me go there. Yeah. Why you talk? Yeah.
Which I'm letting this light of us, we've been taught different things that are currently blocking us as women to be in the main economy. One thing we've been taught that we need to stay at home and make babies. And I mean, I remember when I got married, the first thing that I thought I was supposed to do is wash and cook and, you know, do stuff for the other person that I'm married to. And it just did not happen. I did not think that I was supposed to be doing this, but society was looking for me to do that. But I'm not that person. I'm someone who goes out and makes business, and I don't have time to wash and do all this, you know, stuff that's supposed to happen. So when I said, no, this is not me, and I really judged myself for saying, I don't want to bite my kids. I don't want to be, you know, doing all this. I just want to hug them and give them love and do what I know that I know how to do best. So we have been taught to self-sabotage ourselves. I mean, when I sit with women, there's one lady that I sat with that was starting a business that is really doing well. I mean, she runs this great wine business. She has the orders, but she never makes the money. But her biggest problem was that when she got married, she took a loan. Now, this loan was for her and her husband to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was she the husband had money that he saved up. Obviously, he was paying Lobola and that. But she did not save up anything because she was told that the day you get married, you are going to be bought a house by your husband, which is something that we don't. I mean, we are taught this. This is how life is supposed to be. So she gets there. The husband says, we need to pay for the deposit for the house. And now they need to pay 50-50. So the deposit is 100,000. So he pays the 50. She doesn't have the 50. So she needs to go and do a loan. So she does the loan for 50 grand. And they pay the house and they have the house. 12 years later, she hasn't paid this loan. She tries to pay it. And when she's about to finish it, she just does something happens and she goes back to square one. But now she says also the business is not doing well. So the two things that we found out was that she never wanted to take care of her family in terms of making money, because now that I'm in this situation says the man is supposed to provide for me, but she was actually very angry with the same man for not buying the house, for asking her to buy the house herself. But this was in her subconscious mind. It's not logical. You don't wake up in the morning and think, I'm really angry for buying my own house. But you actually will start sabotage yourself to not win in business, to not win in corporate, to not be the CEO and be the mom. Because we were also taught something that I talk about there, that we're always taught we need to sacrifice. So I can't be the wife and the and everything, you know. I can't be the thing in business and be in the office and you know, do that and then come back and be the perfect wife. And a lot of women that I coach are choosing. They will tell you, I'm going to choose to be a wife in this, or I'm going to choose to be the one that's doing that. So we self-sabotage all the time. It's not because men are stopping us. Men don't actually stop us from doing anything. But we've been taught things that are in our subconscious mind. Well, they don't do it literally. We actually project the edge. We project the energy towards them. So there's a lady that I just was coaching this morning. She says to me, she now does not have money because she's taking care of her boyfriend. Well, husband, because he actually paid Globola for it, but now he lost his job and he's staying at home. So, and then there's so many stories of her trying to save people and getting into so much debt that today we are actually having this coaching session because she doesn't have money and she wants to come out of this. But we just saw a whole trend of that. But what is happening right now is that she wants to take care of him again. He had to get the most amazing thing happening to his life, lost his job. Why? Because she is projecting the energy of wanting to take care of him. But this is all subconscious. We do not do it literally. We don't wake up in the morning and deciding, I want to take care of this man.
Okay.
And
okay. I wanna come.
Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Okay. I will get to that. But maybe before I get to that, V.
Yes.
Are women participating in the mainstream economy?
Of course. And this is the irony of it, is that this economy wouldn't exist without women. We are the biggest consumers of stuff. You know, we're buying the groceries. We are keeping all these businesses open. We're keeping the lights on in most places. We are listening to radio. We are buying the goods. We are feeding children. We are paying school fees. We're doing all the things. I think the real question perhaps you're asking is, are women being recognized for their participation in the economy and adequately rewarded for their participation in the mainstream economy? And that's where I say, no, it isn't happening. So in the same way that you'll find you go into many companies where everyone at junior and mid-level is all women. They've got good transformation stats there. 65%, 70% female in junior and middle. You know why? Because that's where the work needs to happen. Then, when it comes to the levels where you can spend half your life going to golf days and having endless board meetings, basically not working, then suddenly there's an abundance of men. You know, there's also, and I'm not bashing men, but I'm just saying, guys, these are facts. We can pull these facts. You know, another thing I also raised recently was this trend now where these companies stuff up royally. I use Uber as an example, and as soon as they stuff up and they fire the male CEO, what do?
They employ the female CEO.
They employ a female CEO.
I love them.
What's a broom?
Preferably a woman of color. So they go to the bottom of the disadvantaged pile and fetch someone from there. Look at Steinhoff. Yep. Same thing.
Yep.
They've now. Can you imagine that a whole
KPMG
Steinhoff
also
has a
KPMG
black woman CEO? Can you imagine that? That would have never happened 2 years ago had they not stuffed up.
It wouldn't
up.
Have happened.
So
yesterday.
What I'm saying is that women absolutely play a giant role in the economy. They're just not receiving the credit for it, and they're not being adequately remunerated and acknowledged for the impact that they have.
Okay. Didi, but the women are participating, ne? But the fact that she's raising, it's true. Horror. As much as women could be participating, yes, they might not be recognized right now in the mainstream economy, but however, I've realized women are much more easier or accepting if they have been taken care by a man. But when they need to be taken care of their men, then it's a problem. Why do you think it's the case?
Can I disagree? Because I am not like that.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
I've heard stories, and these are the stories that you will hear, you know, down the street. But I think I was raised by a woman Daddy was there, but I was very, very woman that showed me that you can stand up and do it for yourself. So now, I think everything else that we are going through,
mm-hmm.
it actually roots back to where we come from mm-hmm. as children. And how did your mama raise you? And how do you take after your mama and don't take the peer pressure that you actually meet, like the Action Flesh and Light of Joburg, that I want to dress up like and I want to look like mm-hmm. I want. But what is it that
but
you
I want?
I want
to be a slay queen. So don't
in
judge
time,
me.
Girl, in time, girl. So there's nothing wrong in being one, in, you know, being that. But it is very important to align yourself, live within yourself, align yourself with yourself, be in competition with yourself, you know, in everything that you else that you're doing. For me, it all comes down to you as an individual. Taking care of men, it's not an issue. It's basically not an issue. I don't think it's an issue as, you know, but that's not what we know. We just don't know that.
So that's why it's a problem, because you don't know it.
I've never seen it. I think it's
also
a problem.
I think also it can't be the be-all and end-all of who you are as a woman. Women are naturally nurturing,
exactly.
But I mean, it doesn't mean that you get to take advantage of that because we're natural caregivers. That's ridiculous. Mm. So it's fine to take care of
it's okay.
your partner.
Yeah. But not being
yes,
taken for a ride.
Yeah.
I also have seen that, you know, everyone wants to be in a loving relationship. I mean, it could be with your mom. It could be it could be with anybody. And we all want to feel love.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when we make money to be a condition to a relationship, I think that's the problem. Because we could both have money and be in a great relationship.
Busy?
Yes.
Men have dated women that have been a money condition all along.
Ah.
No, but it's true. It's true. There's women that just generally won't date a broke guy. Like right now, in her CEO-ness, she wouldn't date a guy from McDonald's.
But can
whatever.
I tell you, that's more about, and I'm speaking from my personal experience and the experiences that I've witnessed, that's more about the men than the women.
Yeah,
exactly.
So from where I'm sitting, guys, if I can raise children, I can raise a man. I really, it doesn't make a difference to me.
No, but studies now says men prefer women with money.
Sure, but what I'm saying is that the problem is that these men, who the minute they're earning less, whatever, suddenly feel emasculated and start acting up.
Yeah.
So, and I've personally been there. I've experienced it myself. So the money issue actually tends to be more about men and their own perception of themselves and how that then manifests in the relationship. Next thing now, brothers is sulking all the time, or you say, come baby, let's go to marble tonight, and he said, I don't want to go to marble. Meanwhile, he's seeing that Hannah Chalet,
he knows
that I'm going to be in public and this woman's going to be paying for us. Less about us,
or
more about them.
Because
we are empathetic,
right?
Now we do. I mean, naturally, we do want to not put our partners in a position where they're going to feel emasculated.
Then let's bring this into the boardroom. Don't you think then now men take this anger and this frustration that at home and they now bring it to the boardroom and they're thinking,
yes.
Well, imagine if ever Busi's going to be my CEO. Do you understand? Didi's going to be the chairman of the board. Do you understand? And Natasha is going to be the CFO. What's going to happen to me?
Mm. Let me give you an example, Debo. Mm. Now, in jails right now, today, there is 80% is men. But, well, there is all that happened, and that's why they are there. But in as a consciousness, all of us, we actually have put, we've contributed to it. How do we do that? Because, you know, when a child is born and the doctor says, voila, you have a boy. I mean, that person, for just being a boy, is already dedicated to taking care of somebody. I mean, you are lucky if you come out a girl, really. So if you come out a boy, you are then now given this responsibility from day one, from like when you, 1 second old, to take care of someone. But then, because no one actually wants to be taking care of another person, we were all here to be taken care of by the universe. So if we are now giving other people the job to take care of us, then they actually do get angry with us. And then you find the men are in jail, and they are in jail because they were looking for money. And all men that are in jail, almost all of them, is either they are there for the money problem, or they are there for abusing a woman.
And
you are right.
And those with money problems, it's because they're getting trying to get the money
woman.
For the woman.
No, guys, can we just be real and start? Yeah. Let's just raise this generation. Can we just raise our children knowing that it is okay for another person to be better than you?
Mm.
That's it. It is okay for Dibuseng to be a CEO of you. It's okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you can just installing those feelings, like what you're saying right now, that you don't cry, men don't cry, don't have emotions. They've got lots of emotions. That's why our marriages are just in tatters. It's because they are told from any age that don't cry. Can we just raise children to accept that it is okay?
Yes, but we have to be first. We can't tell them what to do. We need to be those people that do not judge others. For our kids to know not to do that.
You start there.
Okay.
You start there.
Bosi's book says women are creators, so it's natural for women to create. Mm-hmm. So right now, Tess has written about some of the businesses that these women have created. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So right now, in terms of you having been in the space, who are better economic creators between women or men?
I am not going to respond to this question.
It's a silly question.
Because, and again, it boils down to how men fundamentally think. Guys, it's not a zero-sum game.
Mm.
My advancement as a woman is not your regression as a man.
Okay. Mm.
True.
And unfortunately, that's how a lot of men think.
At the moment.
And women.
And whatever. The point of the matter is that it's not about... God made us both for a specific reason. Mm. We have different attributes. We have different qualities. I have a son. He is 6 years old. He fascinates me. He's taught me more about men than all the men I've ever known in my entire life because of the way he approaches life, the way he thinks. I didn't condition him to be like that. He came like that. So I'm saying that we need to get to a place, and exactly as Dibuseng is saying, where we learn to accept each other and where we teach our children that we're not in competition.
No.
There's no competition here.
Isn't.
The success of a woman is not the regression of a man. In fact, we are stronger together.
That's true.
Arisibiting, guys. Oh, yeah. I sound like Herman Mashaba. Arisibiting.
Yeah, that is so true.
Okay. I like that. Arisibiting. Busi, in Sibiting, you also having an event on Saturday?
Yes. My book launch for Pretoria. We just had one for Joburg last weekend. So this is 17 March. We're having one in Pretoria in Montana. So it's going to be really, really great. So anyone who likes to do that, come through. Will check me on Busi Sele Show on all the
social
media.
Could you tell
medias.
Us about your book? What is your book about?
So my book is about, the title that has gotten me in so much trouble. It's Money and Black People, Why Black People Don't Have Money, How to Heal Your Money Story. It is a two-part book. The first part of the book talks about why as black people, and black people is not the color of a skin, so it is a consciousness. It is, you know, there is, when we are born, the first 3 years of our lives, we're not black or white. We are just humans. We are here as consciousness, and we are only using our subconscious mind for that first 3 years. I think you have seen a one-year-old that does not see the color of who they are, what's going on here. They just see everybody as total great. Everyone is good. Until we get to start to use our conscious mind, the mind that tells us this is green, this is red, this is cold, this is hot. And we are then now taking up a certain route in our lives. So if I'm then now told that I'm black, that is when I become black. If I'm told I'm white, that's when I become white. And there is black people who are white and white people who are black, actually. So that black is not about the color of skin. It's about the consciousness that you will take in. So we can benefit from it. We could take up the benefits or the negative of either one. Mm. So the book is all about the fact that our mindset is the most important thing. Our mindset is the only thing that we have as women or men, as human beings, to change what we want to change in our lives. So it's all about creating. So the first part is totally talking about all the stuff that has gone wrong. I mean, apartheid is one of the stuff that has gone wrong. Women being you know, put down for whatever reason, all these things have gone wrong. So I talk about what I've seen, what I've experienced with my clients. Before writing this book, I met up with about 150 people that I all have their stories, and that's why I came to see that we all have the one trend. Like I talk about money and men, and no one wants to talk about money and men in, you know, and the truth about the fact that men are really the ones that are suffering more than anybody else, and the fact that women and money, women are really trying to not be abused by. But we are the ones who actually don't know how to put ourselves first. I mean, we want to be the mother that does everything. We want to be the sister and the cousin, and we never take care of ourselves. But we actually complain. But we are the ones who are not taking. We don't put ourselves first. We don't say, I don't want to do this. I actually am this. I actually prefer this. So, and marriage. I talk about money and marriage. I talk about money and struggle, money and debt. And in the second part of the book, it's a 30-day money program where you actually get the chance to sit with yourself and deal with your emotional problems around money. You get the chance to find out what is it about me and money that is not going right, that has put me in this position. So it's a 30-day program that it's quite emotional. So it wants you to really tell the truth to yourself about where you are so that you can be able to cleanse yourself from this energy and be able to
What time is your lunch?
The lunch is at 10 a.m.
What time is your event?
Also at 10. Oh. I wish I could be there, but
it's on
fine.
The 17th.
I'll definitely get the book.
Oh, the book launch is on the 17th.
Oh, okay. Good.
So, you come and attend. Bahija, Saturday you're attending.
I'm expecting to see everyone in this room at the event
men
on
included.
Saturday.
Yeah, no,
men included. Yeah, welcome.
So one thing maybe that I must ask Natasha and Dee. Right now, I've realized that women, not only that women see themselves as competition in society, women see themselves competition as well in the business world, mm-hmm. in the corporate world. Do you understand? Why aren't women opening up opportunities for other women, though?
I think that's what we're doing, though, right? This is what V's trying to do.
Mm.
I hosted this dialogue last year with a panel of five women across various ages, and Mom Gertrude Shopee and Frini Chinwala were two of the older women, and then they were one of the female fallists, and then a human rights attorney, and then Nanango Bese, who's a beast, and Albert Lutuli's granddaughter.
She's a beast.
And we were talking about, you know, women's roles and women in apartheid versus women now. Mm. And the younger people were saying, you know, we need to change the way society looks at women, and we need to give women the chance to whatever. And the older women, the stalwarts, the soldiers, were like, take your chance. Mm-hmm. Take it. Space is genderless, so there's no, just fill the space, whatever it is. Don't wait for somebody to take it. And I think that's what's happening in society now. That's what we're trying to do on Saturday. That's, you know, what Dee's talking about. That there isn't a competition. We're just, women are, we're such a paradox. We're the single most energized sector of society, and we're the most exhausted. Mm. We're tired of fighting, but we can never stop fighting for our space in society. We're not competing against each other. We're just tired of being not taken seriously. So there isn't a competition for me, I don't think. I think we're tired of not seeing change, and now we're making change happen. But we're taking the opportunities.
Eddie?
I think for me, I think we are at that point where we are grabbing each and every opportunity that is coming our way. I don't think we are so much lazy that we are unable to wake up every morning and knock and enter every door. But I think what we've experienced in the past, now we are now saying, now it's enough. You go walk in a bedroom, already you are undressed. So we got to a point whereby we say, okay, we are going to wake up in the morning and knock on the doors, try to gather ourselves together and make ourselves be heard. Let us talk and be heard. And I don't understand why do we have minister of women, and
no one does.
And then we something that is disturbing. We have a director general that is a man. What is he doing there? You know. Like, but for me, I look at that structure and I think this is the most horrible structure I've ever seen, let alone the previous one and the current one. But are we ever, if we don't do it ourselves as this generation, besides of being a member of a parliament, if we don't do it ourselves as this generation, as professionals as we are, and try to impact whatever we went through and try not to for it to happen to the next generation that we're trying to bring. So my focus mainly now is that how do we move from where we are and invite these young kids and to look up to us and stop saying Winnie Madikizela Mandela. Now I want a person that will say that Dibu Seng. That Dibu Seng.
Oh yeah.
I want that child to say that. I'm tired of quoting. I must quote myself. You know. So
and you must be quoted.
I must be seen.
Yeah.
So. I'm at that level too, and I think everything else around it, it all depends on us and for us to ignite what's inside of us. We all have it, eh? And we must all remember, not all of us are entrepreneurs. Please don't wake up and say I want to be an entrepreneur. Not all of us have got that gift. Let us accept that. Be in line with the where you think you can. That's why they say I found my calling. Find it. Find your purpose and use it in every possible way that you can. That is the only way that we can do it.
V, you found your calling. You're doing an event on weekend. Quickly tell us, where's your event? Okay. What time is it happening? And who are you inviting? Am I invited as man? What's happening?
Yeah, but we might ask you some tough questions. Okay. So, you know, at own risk. So the event is taking place on Saturday from 10 a.m. Saturday the 10th of March from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. It is the Women on the Rise Africa official launch, I suppose, if ever there was going to be one. It's our first event that we've ever done. And it's taking place at the Agog Gallery, which is number 12 Lower Ross Road in Maboneng. And really, it's not one of those sessions where we're going to listen to four clever girls talk and then we're going to go home.
Mm.
It's about having a group discourse and exactly what Dibu Seng is saying. How do we take ourselves from where we are to where we want to be? And what proactive steps do we need to put into place? And who do we need to talk to? Mm-hmm. If we're not happy with the DG, why aren't we making noise about it? Mm-hmm. He must move. If we as the women of South Africa don't want him, why are we not lobbying and making and speaking up and saying we don't want Batabile or we don't want that DG? It's about time that we just get vocal about the things that we need to see.
Yeah, sure.
And that is the whole purpose of the event. And I'm hoping that all of the ladies, like yourselves in this room and in the country and in the city, whoever's available, come and lend your voice. There's no smart person in the room. We all have something to add. And that's really the basis of this.
So is there a fee to this event?
There is, yeah. So you have to register on quicket.co.za. You can just search for Women on the Rise.
These women are advanced.
Yes. Online registrations. It's $2.50.
Yeah.
And that really pays for the lunch afterwards. So there'll be a really nice lunch and some bubbly and some, you know, because we are women at the end of the day. We like fabulous, nice. After Harufedi Tsekam Zabalaz, we want to drink champagne.
Okay. No, so then, is there going to be a month event, quarterly? What's going to happen?
So, I think we will allow the attendees to drive that. Mm-hmm. It's something that I have taken the initiative of starting, but by no means is it mine. Mm-hmm. It's ours. Mm-hmm. And I think if the women who are there say, we want to see each other weekly, then that's what needs to happen. So at this point, it's not defined. Mm. I do think, though, at a bare minimum, we'll be, you know, convening some kind of a session monthly or every 2 months. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think, look, it's urgent. We are in a crisis right now. So the more we can meet and work, the better.
Okay. Natasha, crisis. We're in a crisis. What should we look forward to over the weekend?
Well, I'll be speaking at Women on the Rise, so I'll be there. So you're definitely invited, but right of admission reserved. Whether you stay or not, we'll see how you behave on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you go on to kalozabooks.com, you'll find out where the book is going, where we're launching all over the country. We're doing some book fairs and things like that. Mm. We also have already started the next book in the series. Mm. I mean, we had to cut down so heavily for this one, so it's a lot of fabulous women, but we're looking for ideas and people, you know, you want
to. Did you say a book series? Did you say a series? Mm.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Yes,
oh my God. Yeah, you're sitting next to one as well there.
Yep.
Get to know her. Yeah,
Busa, when I start quoting her.
Yeah. Busa, quickly, for people that want to get hold of you, get hold of the book.
So the book is on my site, busiselesha.com. So that's the most easiest way to just go to the site and order it there. It's 220. And you can also get it on Kindle and on Amazon. So you can read it online immediately. And, yeah, we are also doing the other launch in Cape Town on the 24th and in Durban on the 14th of April. And anyone who would like to, chat on maybe a coaching session or anything like that, my details are on the website busiselesha.com.
Oh, okay. So Bulelani, while he's coming to give inspiration to women, or a closing word of encouragement to women, Tsego, what do you think? There's hope.
Yeah, after today there is. We'll definitely be there on Saturday.
Yay.
Yes. It's nice to have an event where there's action afterwards. Mm. So big ups to that.
Is it? Okay. Baija, 30-second word of encouragement to women that are listening that have given up on life.
What? Drama.
Ladies, we really need to actually just stand up. We need to shine. We need to make sure that we are seen. Acknowledge yourself first. I think that's the biggest thing. If I acknowledge myself first, and if I'm okay first, I can then be okay for, and I can help the next person, my Absolutely. Family, my community, and my country. So we actually have to just let ourselves be seen as well, and starting with ourselves first. So okay. Here we go.
Yeah. Vip, before Bulelani closes.
What? Words of encouragement?
Yeah, to women that are listening.
I mean, I think a lot has been said, but to all the women out there, you have to recognize that we are powerful, we are divine, we are God's chosen ones. We are the iPhone X of the human generation, you know? So you have to own that, and you are not... no one can put a price on your body. No one can put a price on your existence except yourself. And it's about how much you value yourself, and that will determine the type of impact that you make in life. So I'm really looking forward to the event and to the outcomes of the event and to us rising together.
Yeah. Bulelani, message to women and close for us?
Don't date broke guys. No, I'm kidding. I'm not. I just think more women need to really pick up their heads, because so we do a variety of different initiatives and we work on different platforms, and it's seldom that you find a lot of women. Maybe they're not given the platform, but I agree with what you said. Women need to take the platform by force if they're not given the platform, because there's a lot of amazing and beautiful women I've come across in my life. And when you start to engage with them, you start to ask yourself a question, but why are you always quiet? Mm. You know, why are you keeping it to yourself? And they've got this great potential and they've got great things to say. But my only thing on only request is, ladies, peek your head out, because you've got an amazing story and you've got a lot to offer. Peek your damn head out. Get things done.
This is all that we had for you today on 360 Biz. My name is Deborah Mafodi. Catch us again for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. We out.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.